Let's talk about Luke chapter 17, because there is a revelation in here that I want to share with you. I think it's very important for a number of individuals in the church, for everybody at some level, but especially for this body of believers. As I told the 9 o'clock discipleship hour, I said that, you know, with what God has done in the past year, He's really broken a lot of things down, started this off at a base level where we're building on discipleship principles. And we're building the body of Christ from the perspective of being fruit growers, you know. And I made the statement, and you probably heard it before, God prefers spiritual fruit to religious nuts. And we want to be a church that's bearing much fruit, that is ministering to people in the community, things of that nature. Well, as that happens, there's going to be times where you come to the precipice. There's going to be times when God challenges you a little bit, when he's ready to take you to a new level, when He's ready to do something miraculous in your life. Now, that might be a calling into the ministry. That might be a blessing, an outpouring of grace on your life, something that you struggled with. Just like we sang, you'll hear Jesus say, "Hey, why don't you come to me? It's time you put that thing down." Or, "Why don't you come to me? It's time you get victory in that thing in your life." Or, "Why don't you come to me? I'm ready to show you the deep things of God. I'm ready to heal your broken heart on this." It could be any number of things. But when that day comes, we have to have an understanding that is found very clearly in three simple words in Luke chapter 17. Let's start off by understanding something here. Number one, we're talking about 10 people that are crying out to Jesus, and they were lepers. Leprosy is a devastating disease that gradually spreads over the body. It starts as crusty white scales, and it soon progresses into painful open sores. And sometimes people can even lose body parts because of the disease. Not only is it a physical ailment, in the law of God, leprosy would render an individual ceremonially unclean. What that meant was they were not allowed in the temple. And if you weren't allowed into the temple, you weren't allowed to worship God as necessary. You couldn't get in the presence of God. And that was a problem. Let me just get a little preacher on here and say, there's all kinds of spiritual leprosy in the body of Christ. We might still show up at church, but the Bible tells us we're not able to get in the presence of God because our sins separate us from God. At the 9 o'clock service, we're reading through the book of Ezekiel, and God addresses that very thing. And He says, hey, the sins that they have, they can't approach me in that way. Now, we serve a merciful God. We serve a God of forgiveness. But He's not going to let willful, chosen sin into His presence. It ain't going to happen. So there's many people in the body of Christ today who have a spiritual leprosy. The body itself is decaying because of something that is on it, something that has invaded it. Leprosy, being a contagious disease, reduced its victims to little more than a social outcast. They couldn't partake in fellowship with other believers. They had to warn passersby to keep away from them, calling out, "Unclean, unclean!" Don't you wish that was still the case in the New Covenant? That when you walked up to someone who had a spiritual leprosy, they would say, "Gossiper, gossiper!" Right? Wouldn't that be awesome? Assassination of character. Adulterer, adulterer. Stay away from me. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? I got an amen out of the pastor. That's how it was. They had to yell unclean. They were total outcasts in society. People looked down upon them. They thought that they were smitten of God, that they were cursed. They weren't allowed to speak to anyone or even give or receive a common greeting. They could shalom, hello. They couldn't. What resulted was a life of solitude. Even even though they were surrounded by other lepers in the same predicament, it was a life of loneliness. Leprosy is an incurable disease that left them to die a little bit at a time. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have this thing in your life that causes you to die a little bit at a time. And it doesn't seem to get any better. The disease of leprosy starts on the skin and it works its way inward to the bones. What begins as an external infection becomes an internal affliction. You know what I'm talking about today? Sometimes there are things in your external circumstances that work their way in and really begin to debilitate you as a person, as a Christian, as a spouse, as an individual, whatever the case might be. And as that disease consumes, as it consumed their flesh, it consumed all of their hopes and dreams, their future, their families. And they gather in exile and anguish. And they talk about the way things used to be. And they share dreams of what could have been and what should have been. And they believe their situation was without hope. They believe their circumstance was without cure. Such was the legacy of leprosy for these people. Now, what we see in the Bible in a physical, literal example has a very spiritual application today. Many of us are eaten up with leprosy. It just goes by a different name. It might be called addiction or bitterness or unforgiveness or lust or anger or fear. It's whatever it is, that thing that's eating away at you, that's consuming you a little bit at a time. And you look at it, and you don't see how you can ever overcome it. It's just when you think you got it beat, it gets the best of you. What begins as an external infection soon becomes an internal affliction. So many times I hear people, when they come for counseling or for discussion, or I often hear it in the courthouse. I don't know how I got here. It was just one look. It was just one try. It was just one. It's something that started off so small. And all of a sudden, it's just conquered my life. And it is destroying. Sometimes you don't even ask for it. But you don't want to carry it any longer. Like the 10 men of Luke 17. Many of us face this condition. Or we know someone who faces a condition that is preventing them from a true and complete walk with God. Sometimes it'll even be like, it'll leave us in a life of solitude. And I'm not talking about a hermit. Sometimes you can be in a room that is full of people and be all alone. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you can be laying in bed beside someone you have known for decades and be all alone. Sometimes you can sit around the dinner table with people that you have birthed into this world and be all alone. These lepers felt forsaken. They felt all alone. But I've come to tell you today, you're not without help and you're not without hope. There was a man passing them that day. A man from Nazareth who went by the name of Jesus. And they had heard about Jesus. And suddenly, their hopes lift their heads in expectation. Despite their disease, despite their circumstance, despite the prognosis, faith begins to rise up deep within their withering flesh because they've heard about a man named Jesus. I wonder today, do you know about the man we call Jesus? I'm not talking about some distant deity. And I'm not talking about some stained glass rendition of God. And I'm not talking about a lucky rabbit's foot you carry around and hoping that everything will go well. Or a genie in the magic lamp that if you rub him the right way, he'll give you a few wishes. I'm talking about the living Son of a living God. I'm talking about the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Prince of Peace and the wonder of all creation. They had heard about Jesus. He was a miracle worker. He was a man of God. And he was coming their way. And contrary to hope, in hope they believed. People all around them might have thought they were crazy. Other lepers may have thought they were wasting their time. But they knew that Jesus was passing by them that day. One who was able to call things that are not as though they were. One who was able to speak a word and have it take place. One who was able to look at a demon and cast it out. One who was able to look at a dead child and raise her to life. One who was able to do what no one else could. What no doctor could. I'm talking about the Lord of glory here. Now don't miss this. As Jesus entered the village, he did not come to the lepers. He didn't search for the lepers. In fact, he didn't even know they were there. The Bible says they began to cry out to Jesus, and then he saw them. Can I just preach on that for a minute? That song we sang said, "Come to me," quoting out of Matthew chapter 18. He said, "Come to me." He didn't say, "I'll come to you" in those situations. He said, "You come to me." Why? Because he's the Lord of glory. He's the one that's got the answer. And he gives an invitation, "Come, all that will come, open arms await you." These lepers could have sat there and they could have had an attitude, "Well, you know what? Bless God, we're here in the proximity of Jesus. If he wants to heal me, he will. If Jesus really loved me, he'd come lay hands on me right now. If Jesus was real, if this God was real, I wouldn't leave with this condition." Right? Guess what would have happened to them? I bet you there was more than 10 lepers in that colony. I mean, we're talking about a big city in that day. They didn't get healed, did they? They probably went home and said, "Well, why didn't it happen to me? I didn't feel anything. God must not love me. I'm going to go eat some worms." It ain't a matter of God loving you. It's a matter of understanding that when they heard that Jesus was coming, when they came to an understanding, "Hey, there is something in my life that is preventing me from having a full walk with God. I'm losing my friends and my family. I'm losing my hopes and my dream. I'm losing my health. I'm losing a little bit of myself every step along the way. I've lost so much already, but I'm not willing to lose anything else." They came to an attitude that Jesus is nearby and he ain't going to get away until I get the blessing I need, because he is my only hope. If you believe it, give him praise today. So they did something radical. They said, "You know what? I'm not going to sit here quiet anymore." Oh my God in heaven. They weren't quiet. They weren't shh. Oh no. They said, "I ain't going to sit here quiet anymore. I ain't going to let this thing keep devouring me. I'm going to cry out." They said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus heard their cry and he met them in that unpleasant place. My God. I wonder if anyone knows the cry of a leper. I've had that cry come out of my throat before, where I had no hope. I was at the end. It was destroying my family. It was destroying my future. But I came to a place where I heard there's a man named Jesus who was able to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And it wasn't a man. And it wasn't a bottle of oil. And it wasn't a church. It was just a place that facilitated the presence of a God who could meet me in my unpleasant circumstance.
And I cried out, Jesus,
Jesus,
have mercy on me.
Hallelujah,
my God. There comes a point where we got to cry out to God. That place where we said, Lord, I've lost too much already. I don't want to lose anything else. He heard the cry of the afflicted and he gave an incredible response. Here's what he said. Go show yourselves to the priest that you are clean. Whew. Now wait a minute. Go show yourself to the priest that you're clean. But they're not. They're not clean. They're lepers. They haven't been healed. They still have their leprosy. Nudge your neighbor and say, put on your seatbelt. If you ain't at least 5 foot tall, I suggest you not get on this ride. Jesus has given them a word. Go tell the priest that you are healed, but they are not. They are still covered in their leprosy, but consider their amazing response. They don't say, but Lord, nothing's happened to me. Lord, my situation hasn't changed. Lord, when is my blessing going to come? I'm not going to go to the priest until I can see what God has done in my life. I'll be happy to go once I get what I need from you, Lord. No, that's not what they said. As they stood in the presence of the Master and His living word is spoken into their life, the Bible says they progressed from a cry of mercy to a step of faith. Hear me when I tell you this today, friends. The blessings of God do not begin with a cry of mercy. The blessing of God begins with a step of faith toward the promise. God is not moved by our need, or every need would be met. He is not moved by our prayer alone, or every prayer would be answered. He's moved by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. These lepers hoped for a healing. They couldn't see it, but they took a step anyway. They didn't wait for God to manifest the blessing. They just got a word from God. He said, go. And the Bible says, as they went. I'll tell you what, some people are sitting around waiting for a blessing from God and don't understand that your blessing ain't going to come until you get up and you start walking in what God has called you to do. You start walking in what God told you to do. You start being obedient to the blessing of God. You start being right in line and step following the ways of the Master. We sit and wait. We say, Lord, won't you bless me? Oh, Lord, I'm going to do great things. Won't you bless me? God says, I ain't going to bless you until you get up. And you start walking this out. But I don't see it, God. You don't have to see it. You just got to believe it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Somebody give God praise in the house. So they begin to walk as though they were cleansed. And I give that word to someone in this house to you today. I don't know what it is that God has told you to do. His commandment might sound crazy. Don't hesitate because you don't yet have what you're seeking. Don't delay because you fear that you might be rejected when you show up. Oh, the lepers could have thought that. Could you imagine showing up to the priest covered in leprosy saying, I'm clean. Have you ever got a word and God said, well, it's yours. Go ahead and go get it. What if God laid on your heart? What if you were up here praying? Oh, Lord. What if you guys were praying? Oh, Lord. Show us the right house. And God showed it. Lord, you got to make a way. You've got to make a way that we can get it. And God said, all right, I'm going to make a way. I want you to go there and go ahead and apply for it. Well, I don't see the deed. I don't see where they're calling me saying it's mine. Right? What if you would have been afraid that when you showed up for the paperwork and you signed it and they would have said, well, you can't get this. And you were afraid of what they might say, so you stepped back. But you weren't afraid, were you? You said, wait a minute. They said I was going to die 2 years ago, but God said I can have my dream house on the beach. And I've been praying about this, and God said we could have this. And Pastor joined us in prayer, and God said it's already ours. We just got to go through the process. So you know what? I might not have my deed in hand, and those people might look at me like I'm crazy, but God said it, so I'm going to start walking. I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to fill out the paperwork. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, you send out a text that says, against all odds, against all that man said, God opened the windows of heaven and has poured out a blessing. Oh, it's not just houses. Read that copy of the Virginian that I sent sailing at the 9 o'clock service. They got a story in there. At the Meadowood Church of God in Richmond, young girl, 15 years old, drowned underwater 20 minutes. But somebody had a word from God. And they prayed a prayer of faith over the girl. And not only did she live, she has no brain damage, was back in the church praising God. That's a reason to praise God. Hey, that got the newspaper turned out. I got people saying, what is this? How? That's not possible. That's God. And with God, all things are possible. I've come to tell you, if you got a word from God, just do it. Whew. My God. How many people after a child's been underwater 20 minutes might have said, well, maybe after a couple minutes God could have done something. Oh no, let me tell you something. God is able to do it. And let me tell you this, He's not only able to do it, He's already done it. A lot of people sitting around crying out for mercy, hoping God will do something. He's already done it. By His stripes you were healed. You can do all things through Christ. You have all authority. You already have the promise. Just start stepping into your blessing. Your blessing's not going to come until you start walking it out. Whew. Now, I do want to explain something. There might be some people saying here, well, wait a minute. My Bible in Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So why do I have to step into anything? I'm saved by grace through faith, not of works. It's not on me to do anything. Well, let's look at that very carefully. I could easily throw James at you and say, faith without works is dead. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But instead, let's delve a little bit deeper. When somebody says, I have faith, and bless God, I'm just going to sit here and wait and see what He does, because He told me to wait on the Lord. Well, that's an erroneous understanding of that scripture. Isaiah 40:31 is not talking about having faith while you're seated and still. It's talking about having faith while you're stepping toward the promise. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You don't have to renew your strength when you're seated on a pew. I got one amen. I might have got an oh my on there, but let me tell you something. You don't need strength renewed when you're seated on a pew. You need strength renewed when you're moving forward, when you're running the race of faith, when you're stepping into the promise, when you're heading to a place you've never been to lay hold of something you never had. That's when you need your strength renewed. God's will is always that we progress toward the promise. The Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt. Moses said, stand still. God said, no, move forward. I'll make a way. God told Joshua, march around Jericho 7 times. David ran toward the giant from Gath. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Paul talked about running the good race, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forward to the high calling of Christ. Yes, Isaiah talks about those who wait upon the Lord. But if you need to wait upon the Lord to renew your strength, that means your strength has been depleted. That your strength has been expended getting to the place of blessing. It means you've gone through some junk.
You've overcome some obstacles. You've been laboring in prayer. You've been walking in faith. You've been running the race. You've been battling some demons. And you've come to the appointed place of blessing. And now you are waiting on God to open the windows of heaven. To restore your strength. And prepare you for what He has. Listen, the Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. It doesn't say the seats of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. That's good preaching there, ain't Helen? The steps of the righteous are ordered. If you're just sitting around waiting for God to do something... I hope you brought a magazine. God wants you stepping toward the promise, taking a word that He has given you in faith without evidence of seeing anything true, going forward in faith. That's the essence of your blessing right there. That's how you please God. We have to get where He said to be. Consider these lepers. They didn't just sit around in their grief and anger. They didn't sit around having a pity party, waiting for God to do what they couldn't do for themselves. No, they got up. They went to Jesus. Now, I'm not preaching against the issue of patience. The ability to wait on the Lord and patience is a blessed thing. You got to let patience have its perfect work, that you can be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. But that patience and that waiting must take place at the prescribed location. That's what I'm trying to instill in you today. Consider this. Jesus said, go to the priest and show that you're clean. But they weren't. But they didn't sit there and wait till they were clean to go see the priest. As they went, they were blessed. Imagine that you're sitting here today and you know what? The economy's pretty bad and gas is pretty expensive. And you say, bless God. God, I'm starving. I'm hungry. I don't have anything to eat. I need some money for the grocery store. And lo and behold, you find some money in a pocket. Anybody else get excited when that happens? God, I love it when that happens. I'm like, $20! Woo! You find some money. Somebody comes by and gives you something they owed or whatever the case might be. Now you got some money, but you ain't got any gas. Well, if I use the money to get gas, I ain't got money to get food. And then somebody says, hey, you know what? There's a bus that will take you to the farm fresh. Now things are looking up. It only costs you a quarter. You can go to the farm fresh. And you say, praise God, I'm going to go to the farm fresh tomorrow and I'm going to get me some groceries because I'm starving. So you wake up the next morning, you get all dressed and you get ready and you walk out on your porch and you sit down and you wait for that bus. And the minutes turn into hours and the morning becomes afternoon and that bus hadn't come by. You say, well, maybe it wasn't God's will for that bus to come by today. I'll just try it again tomorrow. So you go in your house, you go to sleep, come out the next day, you sit here. And you're waiting on a bus that ain't never going to come because you ain't at the bus stop. It ain't that bus driver don't like you. It ain't that bus driver ain't willing to take you where you need to go. The fact is you got to be at the prescribed place at the prescribed time to get the blessing to get you where you got to go. When you get there, you might be tired. It might have been a little bit of a walk. It might be rainy. It might be hot. Hey, renew your strength. Wait there for the bus. Get recharged. But you got to be at the place of appointment if you want to get the blessing of God. Amen. If you get it, give God praise today. We got so many folks that are just sitting waiting for a blessing. They've got a word from God, but they're not acting on it. My friends, if I may put it this way, if you never go anywhere, you'll never get anything. That's some deep theology right there. If you never go anywhere, you'll never get anything. If you stay spiritually still, you are at your pinnacle right now. If you want to be a better father, a better mother, a better spouse, a better Christian, a better boss, a better worship leader, a better whatever it is, a better student, whatever it is, God says, look, whatever it is that's afflicting you, I'll remove it. But you're going to have to take some steps. And he'll tell you where to go and what to do. Let me throw this on you. I'm not too far from closing here. I shouldn't say that because I could be a long way from closing. I don't know. I don't have many notes left, but 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3, we run into some other lepers. Four leprous men. And they sit there at the entrance of the gate. And they say to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die?" I got to ask myself that question sometimes. And I'm going to put it to you. Why are we sitting here till we die? When we know what our problem is, when we know who our Lord is, why are we going to sit here until we die? Waiting to see if God's going to change the situation. God already said you could have it. God already made a way where there seemed to be no way. God has already given you the authority. He's already given you the victory. He's already given you the blessing. Now he's saying this, stand up, walk in faith, go get a hold of what I've given to you. Don't sit here until you die, murmuring and complaining and sucking on a licorice popsicle, looking like you're all sad and blue because you haven't got your blessing. It's already there for you. It's yours for the taking. The question is, are you going to take it? Why sit we here? You know what? The lepers, they had an attitude. If I stay seated, I'm going to die. If I stay stationary, I'm going to die. If I stay quiet, I'm going to die. I got to get back on my feet. I got to do something. I got to start moving forward. You know what? Hey, you know what? Sometimes the leprosies that we deal with, they'll knock the wind out of you. They'll take the life out of you. And it can be so easy to just sit there and say, I am not moving. I hurt too much. I feel alone. I'm all empty inside. I'm dying a little bit at a time. But I've come to speak life into you and let the Word of God say to you, you ain't done yet. Don't you sit there until you die. Don't you just bide your time until God said you ain't done yet. Your latter days shall be greater than your former. You get the Word of God in you. You get up on your feet and you realize that God has blessed and ordained the days that lay ahead of you. He's not going to leave you there to die. He didn't leave you to die when it happened in the first place. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your restorer. Get up on your feet today and say, Lord, I'm not going to sit here any longer. Lord, I'm moving forward into the blessing and the promise of God. Somebody give God praise. Don't sit there convinced that your marriage is over or that you're not going to be healed or that your life is ruined or you'll never beat this depression or you'll never overcome that addiction or you'll never get that promotion. Take faith. Take it in your hands. Begin to walk in the promise of God. How it pleases God when someone takes a step of faith. Even if religion says they're unclean. Even if religion says they're unworthy. Even if society has cast them out. Yet God says, come to me. I will give you rest, my God. As they went, they didn't go because they were blessed. They were blessed because they went. They didn't take a step because they were blessed. They were blessed because they took a step. I want to tell some folks here today. God has laid in your lives some important things. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but God did it to you at 9 o'clock and I saw it. You played this piano for a long time. But it wasn't until you stepped out and led that God said to you, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You're called to be a praise team leader. You're called to worship, not as an occupation, not as a hobby, not as a help the church. You're called, and you knew it when you stepped, when you got behind this anointed holy desk, you could feel the presence of God on you. You could feel the burden of the people, couldn't you? And the burden of God that there was no praise going for it. You know what God's saying? Walk in that. You know, I've given it to you. It's yours. Walk in that. That's the word of God. And many of you are in the same place today. You've got, God has told you. He's laid it in your heart. He has given you the desire of your heart to be that thing, to have that thing, to achieve that goal. And you say, but will it ever come to pass? God is saying this, take hold of your destiny. Take a step of faith. Trust me in this. See if I will not show up. Could you imagine those lepers? I'd have loved to have been there, Gladys. Could you imagine as they started walking, they said, well, hey, man, he's God, he's Jesus. That cat does some stuff. I'm walking. I'm going. And as they're walking, all of a sudden, one of them goes, hey. Hey, my finger, I can bend it. It's wow, it fell off my elbow. Look at my arm. Oh, it's coming up my whole. Look at my leg. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, my God in heaven, look. I'm being made whole. And all of a sudden, they started running again like they never. And they're racing to get to the priest to see who'll get there first to say, look what God did in my life. God, on that journey, could you imagine that walk, what that was like? Oh, blessing unto the Lord. God wants to do the same thing to you just to see that stuff start falling off. That despair, that hopelessness, that fear, that anxiety, that worry, that addiction, that unforgiveness, that greed, that burden, whatever it is. My God, praise team, come on up here. I'm going to ask you today, are you ready to join that group? Whew. To get back the things you've lost along the way. Here's the deal. Jesus didn't say, go to the priest and get prayed for. I'm going to obey God. Jesus told him this, you just take a step of faith and I'll do the rest. I ain't going to meet you up here. Not for this altar call. There's times that God calls for us to pray for people. Not this time. He said, look, it ain't about a man being up here. It ain't about a woman being up here. It ain't about who anoints you or who speaks in tongues over you. It's not about what prophecy they can say. It's all about this. Will you hear the word of God, stand up, take a step of faith, come and meet him at the altar and say, Lord, here am I, and I'm standing on your word, and I'm believing it's going to be done this year in Jesus' name. Yeah. Is that your heart? Father, I thank you, Lord, today for this word. Lord, I'm going to close this thing out and just watch as you be God. You are so awesome. Lord, speak that. Remind them. Sometimes that word has been buried beneath layers of leprosy where they've lost hope. They've forgotten the promise. Some of them may have just heard that word today of what God has called them to do. Lord, I pray today, Holy Spirit, please bring it to our remembrance. What God has said we could have. What God has said we could do. What God has said we can be. Maybe we can't see it. But contrary to hope, and hope we believe. If you're ready to receive what God said you could have. That if you're ready to be what God said you could be. If you're ready to do what God said you can do. And you're ready to take that step of faith. Come up to this altar in Jesus' name and let God speak into your life. Let God bless you. This altar is open to all who would receive God's blessing today.